or lease from...
The royalty of college football is in assembly.
Oh, my gracious. Yep. How about that?
We just stepped on their face with a hot nail thinking off their nose.
And welcome into College Football Country. Josh Parcell here, founder of College Football Country, CFBCountry.com. And we are back for week four of Take the Picks, our weekly gambling episode. This week I've got Chris Felica from College Game Day back to join me. Hope you guys enjoyed the last few weeks. We are red hot right now, 16-4 against the spread in 3 weeks of games. It has been just an awesome start. Hope you guys have been paying attention. Please share the word if you guys want your friends to make money. We want everybody to be rich on this show. We're making people rich every single week. I got Rossi Three Stacks joining me as well. He's back for I Aim to Tease, and it just delves into some ridiculousness and some top-notch research that I think you guys can't get anywhere else. But also, we've got the brains, Chris Felica, on to give you guys some picks as well. And one thing, just a word of warning, before we get into those guests, you don't have to bet every game every week. And I'm by no means am I a gambling expert. Yeah, have I won a bunch of games so far this season? Sure. But I'm not going to risk everything that we've gained through 3 weeks just to have action on a few games this weekend. As you're going to learn throughout this podcast with Chris, there are some games we like, but there are some other games, big games, games we're going to watch that you may not have a great feeling either way on what the line should be or what the side should be. And that's okay. Don't feel like you have to bet on a game just to bet on a game. Take care of your money. Take care of your bankroll. Just enjoy the game. If you have a good feeling, go with it. But don't just do it just to do it. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned over the last few years is, you know, I love to have action on 15 games at a time. And the ups and downs, the thrills of the day are just, I mean, it keeps you on the edge of your seat all day long on Saturday for 12 hours. But if you're really trying to do this and make some money, just go with the games you feel the best about. And this week, there's only a couple, and that's okay. I may have a few more on my website tomorrow, cfbcountry.com, on Friday. But yeah, just be careful. Listen to the advice that we give you here on this podcast, and hopefully it helps you out. But this is not a great week. There are some lines that are interesting. There are a lot of ranked teams on the road. We'll talk about that with Bear as well, with some road dogs or just shorter road favorites than you would like to see, where you're tempted to take the upset, but you never know. This does feel like a week where there could be a ton of chaos. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it's an exciting weekend, but I just want to give you guys that word of caution before we get into these interviews. We're going to give you guys the best advice we can. We want to make you guys money all year long. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and as long as we can keep that bankroll going in the right direction this week, we will get even richer in the weeks to come. So thank you guys for listening. Please go rate and review the podcast on iTunes. 5 stars, unsubscribe, resubscribe again. And now welcome back again for Take the Points, Chris Felica, the Bear from College Game Day. Bear man, happy to have you back.
I'm glad to be back. And you might need to do a little bit more talking this time around, because you're white hot right now, my man.
I'm catching fire at the right time. I hope I just haven't peaked too early.
Yeah, you know what? If we could put your start together with like how I finished the last couple of years, we'll take that, because I've been terrible. I'm a little on one game under 500 in the column and right at 500 on the board. But yeah, last year I was like, gosh, I think I was 7-19 or something like that at one point in the column, and then was able to end up with 2-7 on the board and wound up third. So we finished really good. So hopefully we can pick up your pace here and finish strong.
I hope so. I mean, I've had a good feel for dogs so far. And one of the things I want to talk to you about here in a couple minutes, there are a few teams playing in some big games this week where it seems like Vegas just hasn't quite caught up to how good some of these teams are. And I don't know why that is. Or I mean, it seems like on the surface, teams like Oklahoma State, who we'll talk about, Purdue, another team, it was just Vegas, they're slower to react. When you watch the games on the field, it's easy to see it. This team's better than we expected them to be. And I've been able to exploit that, I guess, for a couple weeks. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do it, but we'll find out. Chris, real quickly, before we get into it, you guys are in New York City this week for game day. That seems pretty cool. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, it's an idea that actually Chris Fowler actually was kicking this around like 5 years ago. doing a show in New York at a bunch of different local college bars. And I mean, it's the biggest city in the country and got more alumni from many different schools throughout the country. And we just never had the right week to do it, or we just couldn't do it right. We couldn't put the resources and the time. And by the time we're like, yeah, we should do it, and it was too late to do it. Finally, this off season, we're like, we're going to do it this year. And this was just the weekend that was able to, that we were able to make it work and make it happen. So here we are, and it should be a pretty cool scene out there on Saturday, right in the, basically in the middle of Times Square, New York City, the hustle and bustle of New York around it, checking in on a bunch of local bars at a different school. And I think Florida State, we have a bar there, Ohio State, there are a bunch of teams, a bunch of alumni. West Virginia, I think, is another alumni bar we're going to be checking in. We got a lot about popping around a lot on Saturday morning. It'll be fun. Yeah. But getting back to what you had said about teams and Vegas catching up, you mentioned Oklahoma State. Was that not a weird game last week, a weird number? The number opened up at whatever it was, 13 or 14, got back down to 10 and a half.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are people betting Pitt? And then it was funny, on Tuesday, I went to start writing my column this week for ESPN.com, and I saw it was 11 and a half, and I'm like, if you like Oklahoma State, you better get it in now, because if you like TCU, you might want to wait, because I have a feeling this thing's going to go up to 13 or 13 and a half after what happened last week. And then sure enough, when Steve and I went into the studio on Wednesday to tape behind the bets, it was 13 and a half. So, they're a weird team. Purdue is an interesting situation. Offensively, they've been great, but they can make block Michigan. It's the one thing I'd be worried about if I were a Purdue backer this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to get to that game in just a couple minutes. Real quickly, before I get off the game day thing, I got to ask you, Chris, can you give us a little, can you tip me off on where you guys are going to be in a week?
Yeah, I would say Blacksburg, Virginia would be very high on the list, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, all right, that's all I can ask for. Writing's on the wall, so let's just hope.
Between the lines.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just hope the Old Dominion Monarchs.
I would say barring a Steve Adazio shock the world 34 point underdog against Clemson, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out where the show must like will be next week.
It sure doesn't. Well, maybe you and I can catch a beer in Blacksburg and do the podcast in live and living color next week, because I'll be up there for that game.
I would enjoy that.
That'd be awesome.
That sounds like a great idea.
All right. Well, let's just hope the Monarchs or the Eagles don't spoil our plans this weekend. Oh, boy. All right. So Bear, let's get to these games. I got a few games. This week is – I don't have a great feel for a ton of games this week, so maybe you have a better handle on some of these. I'll start in the ACC, NC State at Florida State. The Seminoles around a 12-point spread, depending on where you look. Look, the Wolfpack, an interesting number that I saw, 20-4 against the spread following a bye in their last 24 games. Now, that stat is obviously over a long time. That goes back – that predates Dave Doran. That probably goes back to the Chuck Amato era, following a bye. But – interesting number nonetheless. And Florida State with its first game with Blackman at quarterback, I think that number seems a little steep for me when we don't know what we're getting out of Florida State's quarterback. What do you see in that game?
It is a little bit, and I know Steve likes NC State in this game as well, and I think he might even be able to get 12.5, 13, maybe even as you get closer to kickoff, because I think people will see Florida State at home coming off the loss and the way their defense played against Alabama. NC State lost to South Carolina, but you're right. Some of NC State's numbers, I mean, they outgained South Carolina by a ton in that opening game.
Yeah,
and just didn't make plays to win. The only thing that would concern me about this series is usually NC State is more apt to pull the shocker or play well when the game's in Raleigh.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they played well. I think it was in 14 after Florida State, the year after the Noles had won the title. They got up on them big, and then I think Florida State, the Noles put 54 or something like that.
That was the Jacoby Brissett game.
Yeah,
Brissett lit the world on fire for a quarter and a half, and then they completely disappeared.
Well, I'll tell you what, with Chubb and Roseboro and that defensive line, if Florida State has trouble blocking for their freshman quarterback, it could be problems. But It's a great line because they're going to get great two-way action on it.
Yeah, exactly. How do you feel about the under in this game? It's 51.5. I see a Florida State team with a great defense. Obviously, the huge question mark at quarterback, NC State, they're okay on the offensive side, but not a ton of playmakers. I mean, I feel like this game could knock it out of the 20s, and a 51 total, I may like the under there more than I like either one of the sides.
I could see that because you hit on something there. With a young quarterback, how willing is Jimbo going to be to really unleash him and have a wide open game plan? He really might just kind of play it safer, knowing that they're better defensively. The matchup on the other side of the ball really favors them.
Right.
So you could be onto something there. They could very easily be like a 31-14 type game, 31-17, and you're looking at an under.
Yeah, I like that pick. All right, moving on. Alabama at Vanderbilt. So Vanderbilt's getting real, real excited about this game, and they're 18.5 point underdogs. I think this is the time of year where Alabama starts to tighten up the screws a little bit. I feel like Alabama's going to run them completely off the field. What do you think?
I think this is a sell on money, this game. You just alluded to it. It is a perfect time to buy Alabama.
Yeah.
I think this number is a little bit short. Oh, we want Bama. Okay, well, now you got him. I know he wasn't talking crap, but now Clemson's the favorite to repeat. Should Clemson be number one? Is Vandy the 3-0? Are they a team that can pull an upset CBS national game? Can Mississippi State challenge Alabama in the SEC West? Everyone's looking for a reason to knock Alabama after how they played the last couple of games against Group of Five teams. This is a bad time to be Vandy. As good as their defense is, remember, they scored 14 points last week against Kansas State.
Right.
How many realistically can you expect them to score against Alabama on Saturday? I think it's a sell on money, and Alabama wins easily.
I totally agree. I think that's one of the best bets of the week. Penn State at Iowa, a top five team in Penn State, going into Iowa City. Now, Iowa has done this before. I believe, Barry, you may be able to correct me. They've won three straight at home against top five teams. Is that right? I feel like I saw that.
Yeah, the Penn State game, a Derek Clark game where he threw the late pick and Tyler Sash.
Yep.
Had that pick in the late field goal to win, and then Michigan State a couple of years after that, and then last year the Michigan game. So it could create crazy things has happened there in these late games. So we'll see if they can stop Penn State, because the Penn State offense is just really, really good and really, really diverse. And with Barkley and McSorley and Gesicki, they have a ton of answers. And it feels to me like Iowa is a little bit of the home dog, the public side. I know people were killing Dan Franklin for calling the timeout. I love what he's done the last couple of weeks. He is giving his team an edge. He's giving them an attitude. He's coaching that way, alluding to Pitt as Akron. And then, I wasn't icing him. I just wanted to make sure we had our correct field goal block unit team up there. I love it. And it's funny. I just said something, too, that Steve and I were talking about on the pod, about a home underdog. It's almost like we've done a 180, like, all the trains that used to be like the sharp wise guy angles, they're now the public angles. And like what used to be the public angles are now like the sharp angles. So I think you set up to about how a lot of teams haven't really caught on to how good they are and the numbers might not be right. I think that might be because some of the handicapping angles and the strategies and the things we used to do in the past aren't necessarily ones that hold true anymore.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting theory for sure. I mean, like I said, it's applied to several teams, I think, this season. But in Iowa's case, if you look in the Big Ten right now, I know that, you know, they had the game against Wyoming early in the year where they held them to 3 points. But then Oregon did pretty much the same thing, which Oregon's a good team, but that defense was a wreck last year. You wonder how much of that is Jim Levitt and how much of that is just Wyoming maybe being a little overrated. I mean, Nebraska scored 35 on Oregon, and Nebraska's terrible. So it's like, it's just really hard for me to figure out where that all works in. You're trying to think about how good Wyoming is. What does that win over Wyoming look like for Iowa? I mean, they barely beat Iowa State, giving up 40 points. The Hawkeyes are 11th in the Big Ten in yards per play allowed. So the defense
that was one. That was one of the more amazing things in the Iowa State game. I think they had four touchdown drives of like 85 yards or longer. And I will say that with Ferentz's son taking over the play call in Stanley, they have thrown the ball a little bit more and a couple of good backs. But I just don't know if they can play, if they can count on 35 points against Penn State.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're going to have to score. That's kind of what I was getting to. I don't think that this is going to be a game that's played in the teens or 20s. I do think Penn State finds a way to bust a few big plays. They've got more home run threats. Akram Wadley, the running back at Iowa, though, I mean, he averages nearly 6 yards a carry for his career. He's a little bit under that right now. The only argument I can make for Iowa is it's a night game in Iowa City, and we've seen it happen before. But I mean, that's not really a real reason to put money on team, you know. And that's exactly why I'd probably stay away. I do think, look, this has the feeling of one of those games. There's games every year that are just weird, weird upsets. This could be one, but I mean, my head says Penn State or pass.
If you remember last year, it was the beating that Penn State gave Iowa in Happy Valley the week before the Michigan game or the game before the Michigan game. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kirk Ferentz was just despondent. I mean, there was embarrassment throughout the coaching staff and the fans, just the team with how poor they had played and how poor they looked. And then that was when they pulled the surprise. It came back on the road at home in the next game. And beat Michigan. Again, beat, like last week we talked about it, how there were seven ranked teams on the road against unranked teams, how many of them would lose. Well, four of them wound up losing. If you include Utah at Arizona on Friday night, there are 11 ranked teams on the road against unranked teams this week.
That's a recipe for chaos. That's a recipe for chaos. Something weird's going to happen. Seems like Iowa's one of those places where it might go down, as in the past. All right, we'll move on here. We'll talk. This is my best bet of the week. Oregon at Arizona State. And the Ducks are – that line's moved out to around 15, I believe, the last time I checked. But it's been around 2 touchdowns, just over. Look, Oregon has put up 40 points in the first half of each of its last 2 games. They did it against Nebraska. They did it against Wyoming. Arizona State, they were down 18 three separate times to Texas Tech. They have come out of the gates looking absolutely horrible on the defensive side of the ball. I believe they're in the bottom 10 nationally in yards per play allowed. They haven't covered in any of their last 4 games. I think that Oregon boat races Arizona State. I think this is like a 55-21 type game. Again, Oregon's defense playing fairly well. I think that they're able to keep Arizona State out of the end zone. Arizona State's a complete mess.
Arizona State offensively, I mean, I was actually a little bit impressed with Arizona State last week. They fell behind quick early, and it was like, okay, here we go again. This is set up to get completely run out of the building. They came back in the game and made Texas Tech work for that win. They're going to score points, and is Oregon's defense – you talked about Wyoming. Is Oregon's defense really that good?
Right.
Or is it just that it's a Mountain West offensive line and they just completely destroyed Josh Allen and Wyoming? Just like we said, they gave up a ton of points and a ton of yards in the second half against Nebraska, and we saw Nebraska's offense struggle mightily with Northern Illinois. That's a lot of points to be laying in a road game with a coach and a team and an offense is back there against the wall. I think Oregon will win the game, but it wouldn't surprise me if at the very least you look up in the second half and it's a little bit of a game, because it seems like Oregon is such the right side, and it's so obvious that they're the right side that it would make me concerned a little bit. But I'll tell you what, how that it makes you really appreciate. Yeah, everyone talks about, oh, a coaching change. Why make a coaching change? The coaching change to Willie Taggart and Jim Leavitt and that staff, the impact that they've had early in the year is unbelievable. It's the same players for the most. I mean, what, Pagano, the kid from Clemson, the only real new player that they have on the team. They got dead weight off the team. They got rid of infighting. They got rid of the old coaching staff. And just the attitude change of what Taggart and Leavitt have brought to that program has been amazing. And I'll be interested to see if they can keep this up. They become we know they can score, and they have been able to score in the past. They've become a very dangerous team in the Pac-12.
And they've got big games coming up. The Pac-12 North is quietly pretty good. I mean, Cal is much better than we thought they would be with two big wins against Power 5 teams, against UNC and Ole Miss.
How about that game this week, Cal-USC? I mean, this is going to be a stretch for USC where you have Cal, they are beat up. Like, Porter Gustin's not going to play. They've got, like, seven starters who, like, might not play. Mm-hmm. And you got Cal this week, go on the road, a short week in Pullman next week.
That's the one I've got my eye on.
You got the 11 straight weeks against Power 5 teams.
Yeah.
At Notre Dame in mid-October. This is where we're going to find out about USC, because there's no chance to catch your breath and just kind of exhale for a bit and get these guys some rest.
Well, Bear, I mean, people who listen to this podcast, they know how I feel about USC. Look at USC ever since Pete Carroll left over the last basically decade. Just about every year, USC has started 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. But they lose a game to a team that ends up going 6-7, or a game that, you know, a team that ends up 8-5. They lose games they shouldn't lose every single year, no matter what. They've always had the talent. I know everybody will say, oh, but they have Sam Darnold, they have Ronald Jones. They've always had guys like Darnold and Ronald Jones. It's not like USC all of a sudden now they have an NFL quarterback. They've always had an NFL quarterback. They've always had elite athletes at the skill positions, great defensive guys, and they always lose games they shouldn't lose. I think it's going to happen next week in Pullman. I really do. But that's what we've seen out of USC. Why is it any different now? It's not, I don't think Clay Helton is, you know, Urban Meyer. I think USC is primed for an upset at some point, at least one or two. I don't think USC is a playoff team in my mind.
Yeah. I think what we've seen from SC so far this year, the whole home performance against Western Michigan, got up for the Stanford game after being badmouthed, and then they really should have lost to Texas. I mean, they won the game, but they should have lost the game.
Yeah.
But I think right now we're still overrating SC a little bit. We're expecting to see what we saw in the Rose Bowl, the great offense, and Darnold being perfect. And I think there might be a little bit of a Darnold. Maybe he's trying to live up to the perfect number one potential pick. I mean, I think he's thrown as many picks this year in three games as he did all last year.
Yeah, yes.
So he might be putting out the press a little bit.
Yeah, totally. And USC, they had two big wins last year at the end of the year. They beat Washington on the road. That was a really impressive game. Really, really impressive win. The Penn State win was nice in a bowl game. It was a complete shootout. But, I mean, outside of that, they beat a bunch of bad teams in that run where Darnold tore it up. I mean, they were playing UCLA was bad. Oregon was awful. Cal was bad. Arizona. I mean, every team they played on that schedule, it's not like they were going through, you know, the SEC West, the SEC West we used to know at least. And, you know, I just think, yeah, we're overrating USC a little bit. But we'll talk about USC next week for sure, because that's a game I think they're right for the upset. A couple more games, Bear. Big Ten, this is the other big upset. Maybe, you know, we look at Iowa as the upset alert. I think the Purdue-Michigan game, I don't think the Boilermakers are going to win, but I do think they can keep it close. The line is 10. Michigan has looked very shaky on offense. Part of me says this is a perfect storm for Purdue. This is the biggest game for Purdue in what, 12, 13 years? I mean, this is the last time I remember Purdue playing in a game like this. I want to say it was a Wisconsin game. I think game day was there, like, what, 2004?
Joe Tiller, Kyle Orton. Yep.
Yeah.
Erasmus James for Wisconsin. That was a great game. I can remember that game. And you're right. Like, I mean, they beat some Rich Rod teams in recent years, but for them to now go in with this number being 9 or 10 and to have a realistic chance with how poor Michigan has played in the red zone, I mean, maybe it's a thing where they're still looking for their for a Jake Butt type player to rely on in the red zone. Losing Black is
huge
deal for them.
Huge loss.
I mean, you're already relying on two freshman wide receivers, and now you lose one of them. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, Spade has been shaky. Purdue can score. It's kind of like a Harbaugh perfect type scheme that Purdue's run. They multiple tight ends that they throw to both of them, mix in some run as well. He's doing a really good job there. And the only thing that would concern me is can they block those monsters up front?
Yeah.
That's the one thing that would be a problem for me. But you're right. This would not surprise me if you look up and like, Purdue, this game's tied at halftime, or wow, Michigan's only up three, or Purdue's got at least. We saw Purdue do well against Louisville. Louisville's a good team. I mean, defensively, they're nowhere near their Michigan. Then they blew out Ohio in a potential spot where they could have been flat. And then to go on their own just to completely annihilate Missouri last week was something else. Yeah, this one I think would be more of a shocker in terms of like where Purdue has been and where Michigan has been, like a total surprise. Like, wow, Purdue pulled the upset rather than just looking at this year's team.
Right. Purdue's got a veteran team, unlike Michigan. Again, that makes a little bit of a difference, I think, in spots like this. You got a little bit of older guys in your system. Also, Jeff Brohm, nobody has really paid attention to just how good of a coach he is. He was down there at Western Kentucky, and I mean, just lit the world on fire on the offensive side. Guys like Brent Dowdy, Taywan Taylor, Tyler Higbee. I mean, they had guys who were putting up monster numbers, and that's the one thing I think you see on Friday or on Saturday. I think you see Brohm throw the kitchen sink at Michigan. I mean, and he is such an innovative, creative guy on the offensive side. He's going to have stuff. That's a really interesting kind of X's and O's battle of the minds there between Harbaugh and Jeff Brohm, because I think Purdue's going to have something up its sleeve for Michigan enough that, you know, you bang a trick play or two that goes for a touchdown, and like, Michigan doesn't have the offense to pull away. Like I said, I think Purdue keeps it close. All right, let's move on, Bear. We got two games left. Let's do TCU at Oklahoma State. We got two games, but I want to do TCU at Oklahoma State first. The Horned Frogs 1-4 against the number in their last five. Oklahoma State has covered four straight. This is a team I talked about earlier. When does Vegas catch up to the Cowboys? Because they're just blowing away the number like they did last week.
I mean, they have been just the first quarter. I mean, just completely. I mean, there have been zero doubts with these teams. But this has been a weird game in the Big 12 since TCU has joined the conference. You would think TCU, Oklahoma State, fireworks up and down, 47-40. That's not been the case. There's only been one game in this series that's exceeded 51 combined points. So they've been blowouts. The five games have been decided by an average of 22 points a game. So it's typically been the favorite. I mean, last year TCU got dominated as well. So, I mean, you wonder if there's a little bit of a revenge factor with everything that went wrong for TCU last year. Maybe Howard and that linebacking core has a little bit of chip on their shoulder and play well. But it's totally going to be up to Shada and that secondary to see if they can maybe play some type of whatever Pat Narduzzi did. I wouldn't do that. I'd play a little zone, mix in some different schemes to try and eliminate that deep pass, because what Rudolph and Washington and Ayton at offense has been so far has just been incredible.
Well, yeah, and they run the ball really well. They don't get enough credit for that. Justice Hill, the running back, is averaging almost 7 yards a carry. So is J.D. King, the freshman. They've got guys not only at receiver. James Washington and Rudolph get the headlines, but they got other weapons. I mean, Marcel Aitman, the other receiver. I mean, they're just loaded.
Four wide receivers last, four players last week with 100 yards?
Yeah, right. They are stacked. It's more than just Rudolph and Washington. I think Oklahoma State runs them out of the building. I do. Ryan McGee was on my radio show yesterday. He thought that TCU and Gary Patterson would have a defensive scheme that would be able to slow them down. Look, I think Oklahoma State's one of the three best teams in the country right now. I think they're better than Oklahoma. I think that the only two teams I would rank ahead of them at this point, if I was just going off who I think the best teams are, I'd go Alabama, Clemson, and I would put Oklahoma State three. I think they are that good. And I think that they handle TCU. It's a big number. I don't know if I would lay the points, but I do feel like in my gut, I think Oklahoma State runs them away.
I was going to say, that could happen. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And also wouldn't surprise me if TCU won't be double digits either.
Yeah.
I think TCU has had some players as well that can make plays. So I'm with you. I'm going to stay away on the side, but in the column, I put the under 71 just because of how lately it's been a lower scoring game than people caught on to.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. And that's a game that the public's probably going to want to bet the over seeing those two offenses. So you might have a good some good value there. Mississippi State at Georgia, last game. Now, Bear, in my top 25, I have Mississippi State 4 and Georgia 5. So in my mind, this is a top 5 game. I think these are two of the best teams so far this season in college football, at least what they've shown on the field. Obviously, Mississippi State with the massive win last week. They're coming in as road dogs, only 5.5-point dogs in Athens, though. What do you think? Can Mississippi State recapture the magic this week, or does Georgia take care of business between the hedges?
Doesn't it feel to you like people are – it's almost a Vandy-type situation? Now the both liked Mississippi State last week, mm-hmm. and now the bandwagon is full. This number has come down dramatically. I've seen it at 4.5 in some spots, 5, so it's bouncing around. I think Mississippi State is a very trendy underdog, and I think they're a really good team with Fitzgerald and Harris Williams and Simmons on that defense. They completely just forced LSU to wave the white flag last week. I don't think you're going to get that from Kirby Smart in Georgia. I think their defense is going to be much more difficult to move the ball on. And while I don't think Georgia is going to score a ton of points, it just has that feeling where Mississippi State is so trendy of the underdog, of an upset pick. They're going to get a lot of people on them. You're going to look up, and it's going to be like 17-17 in the fourth quarter. And Georgia's going to score a touchdown, win by 7, and, right. and all the Mississippi State backers are going to lose. I think these are – do you think these are the second – I think you probably just answered the question by saying it's a top-five matchup for you, but I think one of the questions, are these really the second and third best teams in the SEC?
I'd have more faith in Georgia than I do Mississippi State. There's no doubt about that. I've always thought that Georgia had a shot to be the second best team in the East. I really, really like what they have. I mean, they have as good of a running back duo as anybody in the league outside of Alabama. I think Jake Fromm is going to progressively get better. And if they win this week against Mississippi State, I would not give that job back to Jacob Eason. You can't after if Fromm wins these two big games. I think that he takes that job and runs with it. And regardless, I think Georgia would have solid quarterback play. They've got great players on the defensive side as well, and a defensive-minded coach in Kirby Smart who knows what to do. He's cut from the Saban cloth. Now, you could argue sometimes that may not be a good thing, but Kirby Smart has done a good job. And I think last year, again, they were real close to being a 10 or an 11-win team. I thought they were going to take a step forward this year. I was probably a little more bullish on Georgia than most people. But like you said, this does feel like a game that Georgia ultimately wins. Mississippi State, I can't imagine what the line was, if there were any early lines on this game before last week. I can't imagine this was under a touchdown until we saw what Mississippi State did against LSU. So it seems like the value is on Georgia. I just, like you said, I don't think either offense going up against those two defenses, it seems like this is a game we're going to see a lot of run, chew the clock, grind it out, few possessions, and in that case, like I said, I don't feel great about either side. I do think Georgia wins straight up. I may money line Georgia because I think ultimately they win the game. I got to see what the price is on that, but again, as far as covering, I think the line is just probably about right, maybe a little bit of value on Georgia, but close. So we'll see. That's all the games we got this week, man. Thank you for joining me. Like I said, next week, let's hope everybody takes care of business. Nothing too weird happens this weekend, and we can catch up in Southwest Virginia next week.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
All right, cool, Bear. We'll talk to you later. And now I welcome in Ross E3Stacks after a one-week hiatus. He was skipping out on me last week. He avoided the picks. I know he was nervous about the games, it sounds like. Maybe being a little bit of a chicken. I don't know. But, I convinced you to come back on this week, and we're going to try and keep getting on the winning train here.
Yeah, Josh, thanks for having me back. Strong words there about the chicken and whatever else you just called me. Let the record show, we tried. We tried to do a podcast last week. I was enjoying a well-deserved vacation with my family down in beautiful Nags Head, North Carolina, not to brag. And I was driving back the night that we were trying to do the podcast, and it just couldn't work. But last week's pick, which I did have and sent them out to a few loyal listeners, did in fact hit. So that's 2 weeks in a row that our aim to tease has hit.
It has. And also, out of the, what, like 20-some games, how many games have you picked right now? You're like, what? You've only lost one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's close to like 18-1, I think. To be fair, it's again, that's with a 7-point keys on all of them. But yeah, 2 weeks ago was awesome. The last time I did give them on here, we did pretty well.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the only game that we've missed was the only one we promoted.
Correct.
Yeah. So we learned our lesson.
As long
there.
As we don't promote any of our games ever, we should keep hitting them statistically.
Yeah. Nobody will know, but we'll know.
Right. Right. Yeah, man. So 2 weeks ago, it was, like I said, I was at the beach with my family, extended family. And if you think it is tough to explain to your peers why you are like invested in this game that is already decided, try explaining to your 10 and 8-year-old nieces why you are glued to the Penn State Pitt game that is already a 19-point game with a minute left.
You're going to start, you're going to create a lot of degenerates in that family.
Probably. My 10-year-old niece was like, who do you want to win? I said, well, I think I really don't really care who wins, but I want Penn State to win by more than 14 points. And she was like, why? I guess I just told some friends that I thought they would. And then that got into this whole thing about, like, what is their nickname? I told her it was the Nittany Lions, and it was, what is a Nittany Lion? It's like, to be honest, I don't really know. I think it's kind of like a bobcat. Or a mountain lion. Yeah, it was good fun.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm just sitting there watching this on my laptop screaming, big stop, baby, big stop. Because that was the only one. The Penn State Pitt game 2 weeks ago was the only one of that batch that even needed to be teased. All the other ones that I gave would have hit straight up. And that game, I did need the 7-point tease.
Now, see, now this is why we don't need to tease games.
No, this is exactly why we tease games.
No, but if you just bet all of those games straight up, Ross, you would have been what, like 6-1? You'd have been like me. I'm 16-4 right now.
Yeah, I've seen that on Twitter.com.
Yeah, well, trust me, when you will not be seeing my record in the coming weeks when everything turns back around, because that's bound to happen.
Yeah, it sure is. Well,
we're riding this wave while we can.
We are, man. And I appreciate you having me back to keep riding it.
All right. Well, what are your That's teaser picks said. This week?
Okay, so we got a bunch. We're getting into the point of the season now where this is kind of the danger zone where I think I know a lot about more teams than I probably do. We're in big time transitive property season where one team beats one team by this much and then somebody else only beat them by that much.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Not a real thing at all, but my dumb brain still can't help but use the transitive property. So we're in prime season for that.
Okay.
We've had some line movement already this week that has kind of hurt some games that I would have otherwise taken. Kentucky opened at like +4 or +4.5 against Florida. That's already moved down to +1.5. So that's kind of out of teaser zone. If I could have gotten them at above +10, I think I would have liked that. Kentucky's been kind of good, and Florida has not been as good. Tech is kind of the same way.
Excellent analysis.
Thanks. Hey, man, you bring Furman back if you want actual stats. I'm going to give you good or not good.
Well, it worked a couple weeks ago with your Michigan State pick. You said, I think Michigan State is going to win, and they won. So
I know.
I don't know that
you
need any more than that.
People complicate all this stuff. The Pythagorean theorem's real hot on the internet today. People try to bring all this stuff in. I got two perfectly good eyes here that tells me when someone's good or not.
All right. Well, hey, so Kentucky, we're going to try and tease them. Or you're trying to tease Kentucky to what, 8.5 right now? Or you would have liked it if it was higher?
Correct. I would have liked it if it was higher. I'm probably not going to do that one. That was an example of one I had when I first started making my notes and then checked again, and I do not like it.
But
anymore.
You'll obviously take credit if it hits you regardless.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Let the record show that I sort of like it.
Okay.
Okay. Next. Iowa is +12.5 at home against Penn State. Mm-hmm. I like them teased up to +19.5. This is another – not another – this is just one a home underdog.
Mm-hmm. Prime
in
time.
A prime time game. Getting more than 17. I think Penn State probably wins, though. It honestly wouldn't shock me if I would pull off an upset, but I really like getting them at +19.5. Anything over 14, I would have felt pretty decent with here.
So Iowa has won its last 3 games against top 5 teams at home. So a lot of people think that the Hawkeyes have a shot. 19.5 seems comfortable if you think that the Hawkeyes are going to pull off the upset. I can get behind that one.
Totally agree. All right, moving on.
I like that you agreed with me agreeing with you, so keep going. I just made your point. You go, no, I agree.
Man, that's a never-ending circle right there. Okay, Purdue, plus 10. We like to tease them up to plus 17 against Michigan.
Let's do it.
I know I'm preaching to the choir there. You're a big Purdue guy right now.
Big Boilermaker guy. Always been. Been for weeks.
Yeah, for sure. No, I've always known that about you. Big, big Purdue fan. Yeah, I think Purdue, likewise, I think they will lose the game, but it's another one, big game for them. They have looked pretty good this year. Michigan has been pretty shaky. I think Michigan probably wins by like a touchdown, maybe up to 14. But I think it's going to be a fairly competitive game. I like Purdue plus 17.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
I agree.
Thanks.
All right. South Carolina. They are minus 8.5 at home against Louisiana Tech. I like teasing that down to minus 1.5 versus Louisiana Tech.
Because you think they're going to win.
That is exactly right. Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
This is one where I haven't watched much. South Carolina's played a fairly tough schedule thus far, and they're 2-1. They lost to Kentucky last week, which I think is why people are now down on them some. But Kentucky, as I mentioned earlier, might be okay. Louisiana Tech has, I just from Google.com, told me they've been okay. I don't think they are exceptionally good, but maybe they keep it within a touchdown. But yes, at 1.5, this is where straight up, do you think South Carolina will beat Louisiana Tech at home? And yes. Okay, yeah, Louisiana Tech. I just pulled them back up. They lost, well, they lost by a lot to Mississippi State, and they beat Western Kentucky on the road by one last week. So, I don't know. I like that. The 8.5 is just a prime teaser territory for me. Anything from like 7 to 9.5, I love teasing.
Yeah. Word of caution there. South Carolina lost Debo Samuel for the year. And he is, I mean, you watch Virginia Tech games. You saw what Cam Phillips has been to Virginia Tech's offense. That's basically what Debo Samuel is to South Carolina. So I know Louisiana Tech, again, I would probably think South Carolina is going to win that game. Certainly teasing it, I would feel pretty good. But I would probably be nervous about a team, not to say that they won't win, but I'd be nervous putting money on a team that has to completely start from scratch, I think, on the offensive side. And a team that I didn't love from the beginning. I thought that their 2-0 start was a little bit of a kind of a smoke and mirrors type situation. They had a couple special teams touchdowns. They were getting outgained, but they beat Missouri. They beat NC State. Those are two pretty good wins to start the season. So 1.5. I'll probably not agree with you on that one, so you don't have to say you agree.
I disagree.
Thank you. But
no, that's fair. I actually didn't know that. My research has been more along the lines of
transitive property
this week.
This is one of those times where
irrelevant things like who is actually playing in the games.
Yeah, we don't really need to factor that in. We just look at scores and numbers. You're a math guy. That's all you need. Yeah,
Debo Samuel, never heard of her.
All right, let's keep going. What you got?
All right. Wyoming is minus 6 at home against Hawaii.
Okay.
I like teasing. Well, that's probably a good one to just take straight up, but I'm going to tease them to plus 1.
Okay.
As we know from 2 weeks ago, Hawaii narrowly escaped against UMass. I'm going to keep bringing that. You know I'm bringing them back up.
Our weekly UMass, anti-UMass
pick. By the way,
pick.
Fell to 0-3 this week. Or 0-4, maybe. Yeah, no duh. So Wyoming, though, they were like a trendy team because Josh Allen is – is that his name, Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. He, you know, supposedly a big-time draft pick, but then they've not done well. You know, Iowa beat them by a couple touchdowns. I think they only scored 3 points that game.
Yep.
They got crushed by Oregon this week. But that's – those are good teams they're playing.
Sure.
And so I think at home against someone like Hawaii, who has not been very good, they lost by 30-something to UCLA last week. This is another one, though. I just think Wyoming will probably beat Hawaii at home. I think this is where they get back to playing against teams of a comparable skill level, maybe, but or at least in a much lower class than Oregon and Iowa. I think this is probably a coming out party for them. So I think Wyoming actually probably wins this game by a touchdown or two.
Kind of one of those situations where you're like, it's like swinging a weighted bat in the on deck circle, and then you get into the batter's box. All of a sudden, that bat's a little bit lighter. You might see Wyoming come out and hang 40 or 50 on Hawaii, but not to do any research on you or anything. But Wyoming got a lot of credit for this Josh Allen guy, who nobody really talked about until the summer or right around the NFL draft. And he lost his top receiver last year, Tanner Gentry, who caught 1,300 yards, 14 touchdowns last season. He's gone. They very much miss him. So also, Brian Hill ran for 1,800 yards last season as a running back, and he's gone as well, 22 touchdowns. So not to use numbers and information. I know that this is an information-free zone, but I do want to say that Wyoming has had some struggles replacing those guys. But I do think that I'm with you. I think Wyoming, I think they handle Hawaii pretty easily.
I agree. And let's be clear, this is a free information zone, not an information free zone.
Is that what it is? Sorry.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, classic mix up on my part. My bad.
Yeah, a little slide exit there. All right, moving on. West Virginia. Right now, they're minus 21.5. That line's kind of been fluctuating.
Who do they play? Kansas?
Kansas.
That's what I thought.
So getting them down to minus 14.5. Yeah, I'd like that more. I'd like it more if it was under 14, but still, Kansas is not good.
Yeah.
And West Virginia, I think, as transitive property is going, as you see that Tech is actually really good, and West Virginia has been taking care of business since that game. I think West Virginia is actually good, and Kansas has been terrible. I think Kansas lost by – I had these written down earlier. Kansas lost by like 12 to Ohio.
Yep. 18 to Central Michigan.
Yeah.
They ain't hanging within 14 of West Virginia.
No, that's exactly right. So that's another one where probably a good bet, even with the normal line. But because I like the normal line, I definitely like it in a tease.
Yeah, that's that may be one of my – I hadn't looked at that game. And you have to wonder sometimes – I mean, West Virginia has now covered two of its last three. They didn't cover against Virginia Tech, although barely. But you wonder with those teams and those high-powered offenses, sometimes those spreads can be awfully big. Now, you're talking about teasing it, so I guess that's a different story. But letdown situation, I mean, but Kansas is –
It's Kansas, and so it's at Kansas.
Yeah, which no, who am I kidding?
I can see if people look at it. Okay, at least a Power Five team, though Kansas statistically is not that in any way. At home, getting more than three touchdowns, I see why people would shy away. That's one the home field advantage thing for Kansas. I don't know. It doesn't feel like that's going to be a super raucous environment.
No.
Certainly nothing like West Virginia, played in a FedEx Field.
No. I mean, I look at last year's Kansas games against like above average teams in the Big 12. They lost by 42 to Baylor, 24 to Oklahoma State, 50 to Oklahoma, 27 to West Virginia. They beat Texas, although Texas wasn't any good. So yeah, I mean, when they've played any decent teams in the Big 12, they've absolutely been. Yeah, they got crushed. So I'm with you. I may slide that into one of my best bets of the week, even at 21.5.
Nice, man. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Glad you do. Let's keep going.
All right. Speaking of good teams in the Big 12, our national darling, Oklahoma State, is minus 13 against TCU.
Okay.
TCU is pretty good, it seems like, just from VegasInsider.com. But teasing Oklahoma State down to minus 6 feels like a good number to me. That's one where I would be very surprised if Oklahoma State didn't win by a touchdown or more. We talked about that this past weekend. I do think Oklahoma State is going to have a letdown at some point, or at least Mason Rudolph will. It just feels like the classic Big 12 quarterback situation where dude starts off just with these outrageous numbers. The team is cruising, and then one game, it just falls apart. He'll throw several picks, not have a good week, and lose his Heisman hopes and their national championship hopes in 1 week. I think that's coming for Oklahoma State, but up till now, they've still looked really, really good. I think they have several more weeks in them before that roadblock comes. So I like Oklahoma State minus 6.
Yeah, I do too.
I also like, the over on this game started at like 64.5, and then
that's it
was quickly bet up to 71.5.
Oh my God.
I know that was a mess up. So that, or maybe that must've been like one opening line in one place, but yeah, it's 71.5 right now. I wouldn't mind teasing the over on that back down to 64.5.
Mm-hmm.
I am very confident this game gets in the 70s, and I think it's more likely that it's in the 80s than it is in the 60s.
Yeah, it does. I mean, TCU's defense, TCU and Oklahoma State, now, among Big 12 defenses, let's important caveat, are probably two of the better defenses in the Big 12, but again, that doesn't say a whole lot. I'm with you.
Right.
I mean, this game probably sneaks into the 30s or 40s. Both teams sneaking into the 30s or 40s. Yeah, mm-hmm. I would 64.5. But you're giving me some insight right here. This free information is worth the money, folks.
Thank you. I'm telling you.
And by that, I mean it's worth no
information. Information free.
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. Next up, back on the home underdog.
Are you putting like a 10-team teaser together this week? By the
I
way,
because that's what it feels like. Oh, I guess I told you before you started recording. I have a lot. I'm giving people options. But yeah, I might put a couple bucks on all of these, but given some options, like I might take South Carolina out now that you've given me your information. You know,
that's smart.
A little give and take here.
Yeah.
But yes, I do have a lot of games this week. I told you, man. Week four, you start really feeling your oats a little bit.
So where are we going now?
Right. So we're going to beautiful Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Oh boy.
UNC is a 2.5-point underdog against Duke. I don't know why UNC and Duke are playing in September.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
That's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been years before where they haven't played at the very last game of the season, but it's always been in November.
Yeah, UNC usually plays NC State in the last week, so that's not uncommon. But to play it this early in the year is weird. Anyway, yeah. Everything on paper says Duke should beat Carolina fairly easily.
Mm-hmm. But you're a UNC fan, so you see things through a very different tint of glasses.
That is correct.
Yeah.
yeah.
Keep going.
No, this is just one where it's a rivalry game. It's at UNC.
Yeah.
UNC did look better, and admittedly against ODU, but they hadn't really had a chance for a tune-up game yet, mm-hmm. Like some teams have had. They've got Chaz Surratt now comfortable at quarterback. They're not really messing around trying to rotate Brandon Harrison, and the offense has looked much better mm-hmm. with him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Duke very well could still win, and thus they are favored on the road. But getting Carolina at 9.5, plus 9.5 at home in a rivalry game,
mm-hmm.
Feels like a good number. Now, yeah. That being said, I have traditionally not done well when putting any faith in Larry Fedora.
We found that out the hard way.
We found that out, yes. But I don't know. I gave him a couple weeks timeout. Didn't even look at any of their lines recently. But I think I'm ready to get back on the wagon here.
Well, you know, that Cal loss doesn't look quite as bad now.
I mean, no.
Cal beat Ole Miss. We thought Cal was going to be one of the worst teams in the Power 5. And all of a sudden, they're 3-0. I mean, they beat Weber State week two. But then they beat Ole Miss at home 27-16. That's a pretty good – I know Ole Miss has nothing to play for, but,
right.
I mean, they have a good offense. And, they're playing an absolutely wide-open system right now, literally just trying to score points. And they couldn't score more than 16 against Cal, whose defense was atrocious last year. So, I mean, maybe that loss doesn't look quite as bad for North Carolina. Still not good, but, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think North Carolina may be a team – look, this has happened before, right, where UNC has gotten off to these awful starts, and halfway through the mm-hmm. season they've turned it around. So maybe this is just another example of Larry Fedora waiting until late September, October to decide to start actually playing football.
I think that's exactly what it is. Well, that's what I'm – that's the assumption I'm operating under if I include them in any bets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're spot on. And honestly, Carolina was – 2 weeks ago was beating Louisville in the fourth quarter. Now then Louisville scored like three straight touchdowns to win going away. But early in the fourth quarter, Carolina was up.
Yeah.
So that you talk about swinging a weighted bat. I mean, last year, Carolina really struggled with, is it Daniel Jones? Is that Duke's quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's a very generic name. I was going to say Matt Jones, but that's their former.
He plays basketball for them.
Small forward. Anyway, they really struggled with him. They struggled with any sort of mobile quarterback last year. So this year, having already played against Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones, I guess, is, I don't know, what's a homeless man's Lamar Jackson? What's worse than homeless?
He's like a third world country version of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. All right, let's get off of that one. But yeah. But yes, Daniel Jones is a third world country Lamar Jackson. That's unbelievable. So anyway, UNC's already swung the weighted bat, and now I think they keep it within 9.5.
Yeah, all right. I could see that. UNC is quietly getting better every week, and if Surratt is the guy, which he is, UNC is going to be okay. They're not going to be great, but they're going to be okay.
Nope.
And this is Duke's a team that I think they're gonna win a game at some point this season against like a Virginia Tech or a Miami or a Florida State, one of those ranked teams that could upset the apple cart. I don't think that every week Duke is good enough to be a contender in the Coastal.
Right.
But Daniel Jones is maybe the best quarterback in the ACC outside of Lamar Jackson, and which we just discussed.
so the gap between Lamar Jackson and the next best quarterback is the third Heisman. World country.
Yeah, exactly. Look, yeah, so I thought we were moving on from that. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But yeah, so I think Duke is pretty good. But, you know, North Carolina, we'll see what kind of crowd North Carolina gets, because the past few weeks have been pretty rough when they were at home against Cal. I was pretty disappointed. So
they are not known for being the best football fan base. That is for sure.
Yeah. All right. What else we got?
All right. Very last one. I don't feel great about this one, but the number is one I very much like to tease. Georgia Tech is -8.5 at home against Pitt. I didn't really think either of these teams was going to be good this year, but there's more of a sample size with Pitt, I guess.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech has had a week off. I'd like them to win. No great insight there. I just think Pitt's not very good.
Yeah.
And they played Oklahoma State last week. There's not much of a greater difference you can have to prepare for as a defense than going from Oklahoma State to Georgia Tech in one week. So I don't know. My guess is Georgia Tech wins that game in what will be an ugly game by like a touchdown. So I like getting them at -1.5.
Yeah, I could see that too. And Pittsburgh's got all sorts of quarterback issues too. I mean, Max Brown was benched halfway through the game. They brought in Ben DiNucci. He wasn't really any better. I mean, both of those guys have one touchdown and two interceptions this season. So Pitt's offense, this is the thing I think people did not give enough attention to, not only the fact that Matt Canada left Pittsburgh, their offense was, if you look at the trends of their offense over the last 5 years, it's a huge spike last season when Matt Canada was there, but also they lost James Conner, and Nathan Peterman is fighting for the starting job for the Bills. I mean, they lost two really, really good skill guys. They just can't replace those guys. I mean, they don't have anybody, no receivers. Quadri Henderson is okay. Quadri Allison at running back has been off to a decent start, but yeah.
Do they have two players named Quadri?
Yes, and they're spelled differently.
I assumed that was the same guy, and I forgot his last name.
No, you cannot be the only one. They have Quadri Henderson with a U, and then Quadri with just a QA, Quadri Allison. No, two different guys, believe it or not.
Wow.
They also have a Sean Tez. Pitt is awful. They have a defensive back named Maurice French with two F's. FF.
Ale Pittsburgh. Bonjour, monsieur. Bonjour, Quadri.
His name is French with two F's, and he is their fifth leading rusher.
So wait, it starts with two F's? FF French?
Yeah, FF French.
FF French sounds like a plumbing company or something.
And, God, he's a cornerback, and he's their fifth leading rusher right now. Oh.
You're sort of talking me into Pitt right now. Two guys named Quadri is unbelievable. I don't know how I didn't know that.
Yeah, man, come on. You got to get up on your Pittsburgh Panther
Quadri
knowledge.
Quadri and FF French.
There we go. We're going to be big, big French fans the rest of the season. Allez Pittsburgh.
Allez Pittsburgh. Allez Panthers. Mademoiselle. Bonjour. Oui. Well, thanks, Josh. This was fun, man.
I agree.
Let me ramble a little more than usual. We're having fun, though. Je m'appelle Rossi Three Stocks. Et au revoir.
Au revoir.